This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
I'm too dumb. I don't even think about things like that.
What is she on it?
What's she got?
At the club.
Great ass!
What is she on it?
That's what we call a sack lunch.
We'll execute the baby.
What is she on it?
Right in the butt.
In the face! In the face!
Oh no, oh no.
Oh no, they were hurting you so bad! Oh no!
What is she on it?
Hey, Red Danny, Red Danny!
It's already been undressed.
Dude, he's such an effing loser.
Oh, I'm hurt.
No, they don't.
America, yeah! America,
educated beer!
Educated beer!
Drugs, drugs, balls, dude!
Learning people! No.
I am an ignorant boob.
That was a lot.
It was a lot.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. That was pretty good. You're like that KU baseball in it. Wow.
Wow.
Their 5th home run in a row!
Wow.
Wow.
Dynamite drop in, Monty.
Can we hear that again? Do you have that handy?
Yeah, I do. Hold on a second.
I'm going to play that.
And this is hit well to deep left. That is back, and that is gone.
Wow.
5 straight home runs.
Wow.
For the Kansas Jayhawk.
Wow.
Yeah, what is... Like, what gets you excited as a color guy if not 5 home runs in a row?
Might have missed your moment there, Chief.
Yeah.
Wow.
You thought you would go like Wolf of Wall Street? Like, I'm not going anywhere. Give me something. Or the Al Pacino. She's got a great ass.
And you got your head all the way up it.
My favorite part about that Al Pacino one is that was not in the script. And Hank Azaria's, Jesus. That was a real reaction.
Yeah, you could see his panicked face in real time, and he was not expecting it.
No one told Hank that he was about to get a great ass.
I love Hank Azaria.
He is. He's fantastic. Yeah, we were talking the other day about like role characters that you would want to be, like careers.
That's a good one.
Hank Azaria has a great career. Like, he's never been a star of much. But, you know, he did Brockmire and he did some smaller stuff. He's in a bunch of movies. He does all the voices.
What about John Turturro?
Yeah, same sort of thing. John Turturro, great career. Just in a ton of stuff. Always a bit character, but everything he's in, he makes better. Love John Turturro. And did you know, too, that did you know how he got hooked up with Severance?
No.
I guess in real life, he is best friends with Christopher Walken. And Christopher Walken...
Oh, well, yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, is that where...
We did the Wall Street Journal article on... They did an interview with Christopher Walken.
Yeah, they're like besties.
And he says he talks to him every day.
So that's where he's like, hey, I got a love interest, and it could be my love interest.
They go to coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that article had that part in it, that Walken was the one who invited him to the show, yeah. But it did have that he was... Because they were talking to him because of Severance.
Yeah.
And, did you hear the Obama connection to Severance?
They tried, right?
They tried to get him to be the voice of the Lumen Industries building for season two.
Really?
And that, like, I guess Ben Stiller got a hold of Obama's email and just fired one off quick and, like, thought he'd hear nothing. And they got a return back. It was like, hey, Ben, I actually love the show. I'm a little too busy right now. I can't really do it, but thanks for thinking of me.
By the way.
God, how cool would that be to get an email from Obama?
Yeah, Barry Obama. I'd also like to make a statement that I am...
Talk ass on the White Sox.
...a sliver away from telling Severance to go pound sand.
Yeah, I'm with
this
you.
This season sucks.
Well, listen, here's the thing about Severance. Severance is a good show. It's on Apple. We've talked about it many times here.
It was all the rage a couple weeks ago.
But look, so they did the first season, and they left the big dangling carrot out there.
Yeah.
They did not...
address much.
And the first season was great.
It was great. And the ending was great. But they did not address the big storyline.
Yeah.
And without giving it away, it's just they're at this company called Lumen, and they're doing something in there, and they just keep dangling this carrot of trying to reveal what they're doing in there, but they won't freaking say it. So now we're almost to the end of season two, and they still haven't said what they're doing down there, and it's getting frustrating.
Yeah,
and they need to move the story along,
and they're not. This is my biggest complaint with series, is they don't have enough material, so they take a very small plot and they stretch it out, and
they do have enough material. They're not getting to it.
It is this last episode that they just ran.
That was the one where she was in Alaska, or she was up there at
wherever careful. She was at, visiting her family.
Was that Alaska?
I don't know. I haven't
it doesn't
caught
say
up.
Where it's at. That is the worst.
Why did I assume that was Alaska?
Yeah, I don't know. She would have had to driven there, and I'm guessing she didn't drive to Alaska. So
good point.
Yeah. I mean, you can drive the Alcan Highway. I'm guessing they didn't. That was the worst episode for a show that I actually like, maybe in the history of television. And that's when I know Yellowstone did this, Ray Donovan did this, Ozark did it.
You were bent about Fargo doing this recently?
Fargo did this. You're like, look, we don't have anywhere to go. And
well,
we're not.
They do.
But that's my point, is they won't, because if they do, then it ends.
Well, then end it.
Thank you. That's my point.
I mean,
Severance.
There is a big deal that they are, like, there's a whole nother show.
Yes.
And within that show, and they won't get to it.
Because they know that once they do, it probably ends, or it begins to end, and everyone does this where they're like, well, if we want to keep this going for three more seasons, we have to stretch it out, and it ends up being a pile of crap. Severance officially, last week, crossed over to it is a bad TV show right now.
Ooh.
I could not,
I don't know about that.
I cannot recommend. If you were watching Severance for just season two, you would have tuned out by now. The Game of Thrones did this. Severance is living off of the first season hype, and then it went away for a while, and the momentum. But more and more people are coming around to it. Like, this isn't good. This season sucks.
Tell you that redhead does it for me though.
Oh, Heliar
can get it.
Heliar. I don't know what her real name is.
I don't know either.
She's a hot.
Well, so's Gemma.
Yeah, Gemma's a hot. Yeah.
I don't like the tone you just took towards Gemma.
She's all right.
Yeah, that's why. I
she's all right. I got a new show that I'm kind of getting into. I think it's pretty good.
By the way, Britt Lauer is her name.
Britt Lauer. Okay, I haven't seen her in anything else, so this is my first foray.
Yeah, I remember looking her up because I'm like, what has she been in? And it's like a lot of one-off TV episodes and stuff like that. So it's they kind of found someone that was not doing a lot.
Yeah, that's the first thing you do, by the way, when you watch a series, is you're like, oh.
What do I know that person from?
What do I know that person for? Like, I do that White Lotus, you do that. Anthony Michael Hall is in the new season of Jack Reacher, and you're like, holy hell, that's Anthony Michael Hall?
The new show that I'm into, and even my wife likes it, which is weird because she never likes anything that I like, is Paradise.
Haven't seen it.
You guys watch that yet?
No. It's premise. I have not seen it.
It's on Hulu. Good show.
Yeah.
Good little show. First season, so you're not missing much. I mean, you can go and...
little show.
You can go and check it out and not... You wouldn't have missed much.
Is it a tropical show?
No, it's a show that, without giving away too much, the world ends and they build... The U.S. government builds a sustainable society for 25,000 people, mm-hmm. chosen people, under a mountain.
Oh.
And... Yeah, so it's about how they go about...
So it's about the Mormons.
Well, not yet, but maybe.
Right.
I haven't seen that, and one that came in on the text line that I know my wife watches and likes is Silo. Have either of you guys watched Silo?
But I've heard of that.
I started Silo.
It's an Apple TV one, and I think similar-ish presence. It's basically a civilization that all went underground because they thought there was like an apocalypse situation, and now you have a choice whether you want to leave the bunker or not, but if you leave, you can't ever come back, and then no one really knows what's out there.
Interesting.
Yeah, I started it and I couldn't get into it.
Well, I need a new show because I'm getting ready to punt. The only reason I'm sticking around in Severance is the BTJ is insisting on watching it.
Well hell you are.
I'll see it through, but you should check out Paradise. I think you specifically might like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a little bit of everything.
I just have a weird...
It's kinda hot.
You will stick through shows. I will not. If you have a crappy run, I don't know why I want... like. This loyalty to pro... No, that's right out with me.
Well, wouldn't that be the same as, like, staying in the theater to see the... You know, I mean, you...
Yeah, but this is why I like movies. I will not turn a movie off because I know that with a movie, it's over in 90 minutes, right? But a show is asking me to stick around for an hour, week after week. And here's the thing about Severance, too, that sucks, is they're doing the every week. I can't even binge through the crap. So I sat there for a week and waited for this episode. And I was like, dude, they better not make this a hunk of crap. And then they proceeded to turn out the biggest hunk of crap they've ever done. And now I have to wait another week to be disappointed again? No. Now, maybe if Severance hit it where I could binge watch it, I'm like, all right, that may have sucked, but let me power through and get to something. But they're not. They're stretching it out to the end, and it's getting to the point where I don't care anymore what the big secret is because the show sucks.
So there's a gal in Paradise. Her name is Julianne Nicholson. Do you know her or of her? She's an actress.
Julianne
Nicholson.
Let me look.
Look her up. See if you know her. She's kind of my new Dame Julie Andrews.
You like what she's got going on?
I do. And she's not...
Well, you have a type.
Yeah.
And she's not a hot.
No, she's not particularly.
No.
But she's really good in the show.
I know her. What do I know her from?
I don't know what else she was in.
You like that... something about some weird Midwestern...
Yeah, she just kind of...
Boy, your porn search must be something else.
Yeah, she's kind of... I don't know. She does it for me.
Yeah. She was in I, Tonya.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was she in I, Tonya?
Diane.
Was she the mom?
Ralston? No, the mom was someone famous.
She was in Mayor of Easttown.
She was in Mayor of Easttown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember her from.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff.
Kind of like her.
She was the grieving mom in Mayor of Easttown.
She does a really good job in Paradise.
Mm.
She's good.
Right.
And she's kind of a power bitch in there.
Mm.
And so that...
That's what you like.
That makes me all hot.
Hey, man,
Prime. I don't know. I just
bitch.
Like her.
We all have weird types.
I think she's good.
Does Nurse Nice ever get on you for that?
Well, I didn't. She doesn't know that.
Oh, because like
now that I'm broadcasting it.
Because we'll be watching something, and I'll be like, "Oh yeah,
and she was in Boardwalk Empire."
And BTJ will look at me and just be disgusted. She's like, "Really?" But the thing is, if it's an actual hot, then she's like, "Oh yeah." She goes, "Yeah, she's way hot." But if it's someone that she deems...
So she has to agree?
She has to agree. And sometimes there's just obvious hotness that she's like, yeah, everyone. Like, if you're watching, like, you know, Euphoria or whatever, and, like, Sydney Sweeney comes on, like, obviously, like, something like that. But, like, if I were watching that show and I was like, oh, yeah, who's this Julianne Nickerson gal?
Whoa.
She would look at me and just have just this layer of...
She'd be like, what?
Yes.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think she views it
seriously. That does it for you.
Well, I think she views it as a personal affront because if I'm attracted to her, and then I'm attracted to that, I think somehow she thinks it's a judgment on her.
That then connects the two that I must look like that also,
yes.
Or something.
She gets very upset at me when I like someone that isn't traditionally hot.
She's not. She's certainly not traditionally hot,
yeah.
But she's not ugly. I mean, she's just
she's a little plain.
She's older. She is plain. She's got kind of the Karen haircut in the show.
Yeah.
But she's a badass, and she's a really good actress.
Like one that I because I have my gals that I love. Like one of mine is Anna Kendrick. Big fan of Anna Kendrick.
Who's that again? Do I know her?
Yeah, you absolutely know her. She was Pitch Perfect. Anna. She was the George Clooney Up in the Air.
She's in a ton of stuff. And I find her to be just a little slice of American adorableness. She's great. She's apple pie with a slice of cheese on top.
Yeah, okay.
Emma Stone is probably mine.
And
I think Emma Stone.
And let me tell you, the BTJ, none too happy that I have a thing for Anna Kendrick. Which I don't know, because if she's aware, but Anna Kendrick, not interested in me.
How do you know?
Should
send her some tapes of the show.
Not a gonna happen. But that pisses my gal off that I've got a thing for, and she's very snooty about it. Like, recently, Anna Kendrick has come under some fire about potentially maybe being hard to work with, and boy, BTJ loves...
Always knew she was a bitch!
Loves to point it out. Yeah, I heard that Anna Kendrick's a real bitch. Okay. What? Huh?
Grade A prime bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the real matter at hand here. And it is the largest disinformation campaign in U.S. government history, and it is being outed in a new documentary that was at South by Southwest, and apparently people are a-talking. People are a-talking.
The people. The editorial we.
People are saying. That's next on The Fan. All right. Hey, it's me, Petey the Peppy Penis. Hello.
Hi. Oh my gosh, I'm a filthy bastard. It's tough when you realize that. But aren't we all?
Filthy bastards, yes.
Some of us just hide it.
Oh, yeah.
Better than others.
I've always thought that about, like, real serious people that... Yeah, come on, dude.
You're a horrible human being, too. Like, come on. It's like that... We were talking about movies, and they had that movie, like, What a Girl Wants, where the guy can, Mel Gibson can read all the girls' minds.
What Women Want, yeah.
Yeah, What Women Want.
What a Girl Wants was the Amanda Bynes classic.
Yeah, if you flipped it and you had that to where you could read what men think, we'd all be in jail.
Louis C.K. had a whole bit about that, and kind of went away when he got canceled, deleted from the internet and all that, because it was too depraved.
But it would be, it's the truth. You would not be able to have men in the office. It would be just one just series of, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Huh? What's wrong with me is I'm a man. And men inherently are terrible creatures. Again,
I'm a man! I'm 40!
Just hide it better than others.
I was just going to play that drop.
I beat you to it, didn't I?
You did. I didn't have my quick draw.
A little quicker on the draw.
Just be a lot of... And she's got a great ass!
Well, she got a... Great ass!
And you got your head all the way up it!
So this premiered Sunday at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. It is a groundbreaking documentary.
Is it groundbreaking?
Well, they say it is.
Broke ground?
They say it is, fellas.
It's like when you say he's a generational talent, there's three others just like him. Groundbreaking? What's groundbreaking about it?
It's called The Age of Disclosure. And people are talking, people are saying... It features
like it.
Interviews with 34 senior members of the U.S. legislative, military, and intelligence communities, revealing an 80-year cover-up of the existence of non-human intelligent life and a secret war amongst major nations to reverse-engineer technology of non-human origin.
The aliens. Oh, so this is like, yeah, lately I've seen, I didn't know that this was the source of this, but I've seen articles popping up about the aliens lately.
Yeah. Well, they're talking more about it now.
Sure.
And in this documentary, they interviewed the guy who made it, and he's saying the reason they're different is that you've always had the speculation, you know, the speculative docs.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, well, what about this? And look at this. But this is the first time you have all these people on camera talking about what they know.
So these are not, well, but...
Within what they can disclose.
Sure.
Some of them, well, as you know, you can only lawfully disclose so much.
Yeah.
But they get up right to that line, apparently. They break their silence.
Because, like, Bob Lazar is a guy that I've heard stuff on, and he was a guy that worked at, like, Area 51, and he's been talking about this stuff for years.
Yeah.
So is this a lot of... just a lot of these now together?
I don't know. It's possible that this movie would be something for people that know a lot about what's already out there. Mm-hmm. It may be a nothing burger to them, but to other people, it may be everything because they haven't heard anything that's out there. It probably just depends on where your start line is on that.
Sure.
It's called The Age of Disclosure, and the guy who did it is Dan Farah. He says, something I'm proud of with this film is that it's really not people sharing theories. It's people who have direct knowledge of the topic as a result of working for the U.S. government sharing what they can lawfully disclose about what they know. And that is what I think separates this film from everything else that's been made.
I'm somewhat intrigued by this because I do find the alien thing to be interesting. I do believe that a lot of this stuff is real. But at the same time, I've heard plenty of people that have worked for the government come out and say, yeah. And in fact, in the last handful of years, I feel like this is happening more and more. And the government even seems to be kind of leaning towards more of, hey, you know, we don't know what this is, and alluding that it may be something. Is this just a group of that gathering all of those people out there, or is this never before heard interviews?
Yeah, no, they're exclusive interviews. It's just that he is saying that the way this kind of came about was once one credible person speaks, then other credible people are willing to speak. Hmm. You know, because you see a lot of these where you got one guy, most of the time, at least, I don't watch a ton of these, but I've seen a few where it's just centered around one person with a theory and, you know, they go down that rabbit hole.
Sure.
This is 34 people. Hmm. From the government, including Marco Rubio. He's in it.
Okay.
Because he's Secretary of State now, I think, or something like that.
What is Marco? He's something.
I think he's Secretary of State. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. Hmm. But people are talking.
People are talking. He's the Secretary of State.
People are saying.
I would be interested. But this isn't available to stream anywhere. It's just South by Southwest.
Yeah, no, it's just now come out on South by Southwest. Hmm. Or at South by Southwest.
I'm intrigued. Yeah, I'm reading here because that does seem like eventually that dam is going to burst. I do think more and more people. I mean, like I said, recently we've had naval pilots come out and talk about this. The government is admitting that we don't 100% know what these things are. It feels like there's a wave of momentum. And I'm very interested to see, because I feel like in our society, nothing moves the needle anymore. And I mean nothing. So if tomorrow we come out and we produce a body and we produce a craft and we said, hey, we've had this since, you know, 1946. What? I really don't know if that moves the needle for people or if we just collectively go, oh, and then we move on. Because I would think that from a religious standpoint, like that would be a game changer. But dude, the religious people move the goalposts better than any people on the planet. You know, that's they're the masters of it. But if like we're, you know, if we're Adam and Eve in this whole Earth thing, how do you explain Nanu Nanu, you know, that looks nothing like us, that is way more advanced? How do you explain that away?
The great Mork and Mindy?
Yeah. Because recently people have said that we do have, I mean, that's the scuttlebutt, is that we have bodies.
We have a body.
Yeah, we got little beans.
So listen to this. They ask him, this is an interview, this is the guy who did the film. This is an interview with Entertainment Magazine. And they ask him, was there anything you uncovered that you thought was too sensitive to put in the movie? And he said, yes, 100%. There was a lot of footage from interviews that was extremely fascinating and by all means bombshell testimony that I ultimately felt was a bridge too far for your average person to wrap their heads around.
This is my thing. This makes me feel like this is a pile of crap.
Leave that up to me, whether I can handle that information.
So your whole thing is... You held
something back after doing all this.
You're making a documentary about people that are blowing the lid on the greatest conspiracy, and you have damning evidence that is so overwhelming.
Bombshell.
But you're like, I left it out of my film. That just...
He says, maybe down the line there'll be an extended version or deleted scenes. Yeah. And then they said, did you speak with anyone who claimed that we have communicated with non-human intelligence? And he says, yes.
Hmm. See, why wouldn't that be in the film?
I don't understand.
I think he is saying that for these people to speak to him, he can't take it too far, right? Because if he's speaking to a bunch of government officials, mm-hmm. they're not going to let him take it all the way.
Well, then why disclose that to him at all for him to sit on? Like, why would you even give that,
well,
that information?
Well, I'm guessing they want, because as Suk said, like, if you've noticed, they've started to talk about this stuff now.
But now the filmmaker is the arbiter about what the public can handle.
No, I don't think he's an arbiter. I think he's a puppet.
Hmm.
That's what I think.
Yeah, they're just...
I mean, a filmmaker, he wants to tell all that stuff. He's probably told you can't.
So then just say, I was told, I heard some stuff, but I was told I can't say it, rather than, well, it's bombshell stuff, but, well, like, I made the judgment.
Okay, but he also doesn't want to sound like he's being controlled.
Yeah.
So he's in a tough...
Everything from, we were told that we were releasing the JFK docs, we were told that we were going to release the Epstein files, we were going to told that we were going to release all this stuff, and nothing ever happens.
Hey, what about Al Capone's vault, though?
Exactly.
Fort Knox, too.
So now I hear that there's this groundbreaking alien thing and that he's got this shocking bombshells, but he can't put it in. This is, by the way, I'm releasing the evidence of fraud in 2 weeks. Don't worry. Well, do you have it? Oh, I have overwhelming evidence. Can you see it? Well, you know, hey, in due time. It's that same sort of crap.
So he says, I've been told by leaders in both political parties that they intend to use the film as a stepping stone to bring the truth out. They believe the film will become their most effective tool for educating the public and other elements of government on the truth because it does the job for them. As a filmmaker, it's really exciting to make a film that not only is interesting and informative to the public, but also can actually be helpful to people in a position of power within our government to bring more transparency to the public.
I was excited until I started hearing from
this dude. That makes me think he is a government. Like, the government wanted him to do this.
I don't know. This,
yes.
This
otherwise, why would they speak?
This just makes it sound like this is a dude who's just trying to promote his project and try to make it sound a lot more important than it is.
I don't know. I bet you the U.S. government's like, well, how do we get some of this stuff out? Well, let's make a documentary film where we'll spill 10% of it. And that'll be the...
Really? So that's what the... Like, we're taking a documentary that like 7 people are going to watch?
It'll be out.
Southwest.
No, it'll be out. It'll be out. I guarantee you it's called The Age of Disclosure. I don't know how big it'll be because it seems like with every bit of alien news that comes out, people just go...
Yeah.
Meh.
And that's what I'm saying. I think we're getting to the point where you could literally roll out a little body. And half the people, by the way, are going to say that it's fake. Half the people are going to go, it doesn't prove anything. And then, you know, it'll move on. Like, nothing sticks anymore.
Well,
nothing.
Perhaps that's why they're doing it this way, is that they're realizing that nobody's paying attention, so we need to put it in a documentary? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll do a TikTok dance about it.
Yeah, there
you go. Get that out there. Just...
What do you think about that, Buck?
Sure.
I am intrigued by this, but boy, there's a lot of warning signs that are being triggered in what that dude is talking about.
Why this Tennessee man is worried about his marriage. That's next. Here's Buck.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I get to the story from the hills of Tennessee, I would like to report to you sportsers out there.
Report away.
That the Boston Celtics have now attempted 59 three-pointers.
That does seem like a lot of three-pointers.
Tonight against the Thunder. The record for most three-point attempts in an NBA game ever is 70. There are still 6 minutes left.
So probably not going to get to 70, but...
Boy, I don't know.
Did the Rockets do that?
It was the Rockets.
Yeah. Remember there was some of those James Harden teams. They just were coming down the line.
Well, they famously missed 27 three-pointers in a row against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
Hey, guys, shoot your way out of a slump, right?
You got to do it.
They are 19 of 59 for 32%.
Hey.
And they are losing to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
But if they just hit two more, they'd be tied.
Well, here's another one. There's 60 right there.
Air ball.
Good grip. There's 61. Oh, my God.
I traveled. There's shot clock violation.
Losers.
Well, they shot 60 and then attempted 61, but because it was an air ball, I think it was a shot clock violation.
Well, I only bring you this story for one reason, and it's to read you his quote. That's it. Right. Otherwise, it's a pretty mundane murder story.
But there's a great quote.
Well, this is in Tennessee, so picture... So they're three name people.
Sure.
And it's Tennessee.
Okay.
So I think you guys know...
We know where this is going.
What that means.
Yeah.
Right?
By three name people, you mean like a Bobby Joe and an Ellie
Mae
and stuff like that?
Yeah, Billie Jean Floyd and, you know. So Jonathan Belk is 41, is accused of killing Billie Jean Floyd Saturday afternoon after coming home and finding the teenager with his 31-year-old wife, Jada Goldston, who was also hospitalized with several stab wounds.
Okay. So the teenager was sleeping with the guy's wife.
Correct.
And my man comes home, doesn't like that someone's sleeping with his wife,
that's
let alone
correct.
A teenager,
yes,
and kills him.
The body of Floyd, who had turned 18 just 3 days earlier, was found stuffed in a garbage can in his mistress's home. The cheating wife initially told police that a man had jumped on her boyfriend while they were in bed. And these people look exactly like you would think.
Yeah. So, and look, she was sleeping with a minor because obviously this...
He had just turned 18. First time.
So she was, waited, like, hey, I want to have this torrid love affair with you, but I got to wait till you turn 18.
When cops arrived, they found Belk standing in his doorway covered in blood with cuts on his hands and only then found out he was the caller's husband.
Ah.
His biggest concern, and this is where his quote comes in. His biggest concern appeared to be that the deadly attack might hurt his marriage.
Come again?
Not the fact that the wife was already sleeping with a just recent teenager.
He said, quote, I'm worried about my relationship with my wife due to the fact that I offed him. End quote.
Huh. Well, I mean...
Probably a fair worry.
Yeah, well,
don't you think?
She was in bed with him at the time, so I would assume that that's a fairly traumatic experience, knowing that the person that you were sleeping with had just got murdered like while they were on top of you. Yeah, I would think that that would put a damper on the relationship, just a scooch.
Well, the kid, he was known as Lil Bill.
Lil Bill.
Aw, Lil Bill.
He enjoyed hunting, fishing, four-wheelers, and working on everything.
And apparently also working on MILFs.
Yeah.
What was this dude's name again, the guy that killed him?
His name is Jonathan Belk, 41-year-old man.
And what's Lil Bill's real name?
Lil Bill, that was Billie Jean Floyd. And yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you what. You are so right about old.
He looks like a Jonathan teen Belk. Wrestler.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I see what she was she saw in the teenager. You know.
So you're saying you're attracted to Lil Bill?
Lil Bill. Lil Bill had it going on.
Yeah. Lil Bill looks like Country anymore. Strong working out, yeah. Bailing hay.
Yeah.
He sure does.
I do enjoy, though, that his concern, because in the mugshot, he still has blood on his face. My guess is that's Little Bill's splattered blood. Don't you think they could clean that off?
Yeah.
Before the mugshot?
They could.
By the way, Lil Bill looks like Shorzy from Letterkenny.
That's a good call.
Right? Looks very, very similar. And the house, you know, it's a trailer. Do you see the house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, single wide. There's a...
Yeah, I mean, it's straight out of Ozark.
Yeah. There's a swing set in the front yard for some unknown reason.
Well, that's for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there kids?
That's for Baby Billy.
Baby Billy. Man.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
It's an interesting part of the world right there.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Can you imagine living there?
No. You ever encountered any...
Yes, I'm from Kansas.
No, I'm saying if in like your own life, have you ever encountered a family member or whatever or dealt with true poor white trash?
Yes. I'm from Kansas.
I said no if it touched your family.
Yes. Come on, man.
Because when you see it up close, it's...
Yeah, dude.
It's kind of shocking. It's kind of shocking.
Yeah. Now here, I want you to think about this. It's all I knew for the longest time.
People managing Dairy Queens and...
Well, hey, now, wait a minute.
Whoa.
That's my wife's family, and they're wonderful. It was in Monmouth.
Yeah.
But they're great.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about them.
Acid wash jeans involved.
Well, but everyone had acid wash jeans.
Some interesting people raising kids and no one sure who's the father of said kid. That's always a fun one.
Yeah.
But no one will actually take the time to find out. They just speculate about it.
All right, we got to run. We will wrap it up next on The Fan. I think we're at 62 three-pointers chucked up by the Celtics.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
They're not going to get to the record.
No.
Only a minute 10 left.
Yeah, and they're out of it, so Boston doesn't have any. There's no reason to shoot anymore.
Yeah, they're down 10.
Yeah.
Peyton Pritchard, 1 of 8.
Yeah, they were not very good. They were, 61. So they were 19 of 61.
Yeah, they'll launch one here.
Although two guys went 50%. Horford and Derek White both went 6 of 12, which is damn good.
Oh, look at that, a measly two.
Yeah, Oklahoma City gave up a meaningless two. Disappointing.
Thunder looked good.
Yeah, and yet no one will give Oklahoma City or Cleveland any chance.
Well, that's not true. It's just they want them. You got to prove it. Same thing with Jokic.
I think Cleveland's won like 18 in a row.
Before Denver won, nobody believed in Denver.
Yeah. Cleveland is on an absolute heater right now.
All right. What's everybody doing tonight?
Nothing.
What's going on at the Buckley household?
Good question. Probably, I mean, I'm probably going to watch some more hoop, but I don't know. Not a lot tonight.
I have to pace myself because Friday night is the... Kells is putting on the St. Patrick's Day Smoker, the boxing tournament.
Oh yeah!
And me and the Tullamore Dew guys, I'm bracing myself. So this needs to be I gotta pace myself. And my liver needs my liver needs to be prepared for what's gonna happen Friday night.
No, it doesn't. The way to prepare it is drink, lube it up.
This has become an annual just shock to my system. Come Friday, it's anything goes. And it's a great event. If you're in the market for something to do on Friday, if you can get a ticket, go down and check out the Kells Smoker. It's kick-ass. They fly in a bunch of boxers from Ireland, and they fight the guys from the United States. And then we all gamble on it. We all drink too much. We all smoke cigars. And then we end up at Kells afterwards doing more of the same. It's a great freaking evening.
They got babysitting there?
Buck, you've got to get over this kid thing. This kid thing's really bringing down your opportunities to go.
Yeah, it's a huge buzzkill, isn't it?
Give him back.
Anytime I ask Buck if he wants to do anything,
shove him back up there.
It's followed up with kids.
Well, you can't shove him back up there, but you can give him away.
Give him back. Well, give him back to who?
Give him to the government.
Don't you have grandparents that can watch them or something?
Yeah.
There's probably some sort of experiments they can do on them.
That's
experiments?
What?
Well, you know what I mean.
Why did you take it to there?
Well, I mean, they need kids for experiments.
Dark place.
It's like that OHSU monkey commercial. Mm. You ever see those?
Why are you going there? Are they experimenting on monkeys?
Yeah.
Oh,
and they're telling OHSUcruelty.com or .org or whatever. The ads are playing right and left. Apparently, OHSU does a bunch of bad stuff to monkeys.
I don't know.
My
daughter's pre-med over at Portland State, and she's having to torture crickets right now.
Mm.
And it's nasty stuff.
Crickets be tortured?
Yeah, they're like hooking them up, and then they're like cutting off limbs and then checking the response. And it's...
Yeah.
I guess, do they know that they're being tortured? Probably not.
I'm pretty sure it knows that its leg got cut off and like all the stimulus on it is shaking and freaking. Look at Buck.
Ow.
Oh.
Ow.
Oh.
I mean, they're crickets.
Yeah, they're crickets. They don't have
I'm not going out of my way to hurt them, but if it helps us have scientific breakthroughs, a cricket leg here or there. Yeah.
All right, everybody have a great night. We're back tomorrow, 3-7 on the Finger Night.
Ships of Spain, red ships of Spain.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.